You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
Welcome to Alouettes Flight Deck, podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football. I am Tim Capper. You can find me on Twitter at Repact. That's R-E-P-P-A-C-T.
And I'm Cliffy D. You can also find me on Twitter at Cliffy D. And the Alouettes Flight Deck is presented by our good friends over at SportBuff, where right now you can save 10% off your entire order by using the promo code FlightDeck-10. Head over to www.sportbuffshop.com. Support local. Buy some new merch and wear it proudly.
If you want to check out the entire history of all of our podcasts, you can check out our archive and check out all our links over at www.alouettesflightdeck.ca. You can find us on Twitter. That's at @AlouettesFLDeck. Facebook, that search for Alouettes Flight Deck Pod. Instagram, search for Alouettes Flight Deck. YouTube, you can check us out at youtube.com/AlouettesFlightDeck. And if you are looking for merch to support the podcast, you can do so by heading over to teespring.com/stores/Al's Flight Deck. So I'm sitting in Calgary at a family function, Cliff, and I email you something that had popped up. Props to the guy over at La Presse who was able to get this scoop. We find out that there was going to be a press conference over at the Big O this past Friday, and the rumor was, because obviously as everybody who's been following the picture book, the current Alouette situation, that there is potential, they were looking for owner, and it looked like that they were going to announce one on Friday at the Big O. And sure enough, that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
That was the case. So we weren't sure with who it was going to be based off the information that had been floating around the interwebs. But once it was finally announced just after 11 a.m. last Friday, we found out that Pierre Carpelado has become the 11th owner of the Montreal Alouettes, 12 if you include the CFL in 2019. And I think this is a stat that really needs to be put out there, Cliff, is that he is the first local owner since 1985 in Charles Bronfman.
Mm-hmm.
So first, I could, you know, knowing that we, with the history that the Owls have had, how long we've been around, knowing that we've only had 12 owners, that's a positive.
Is it though?
I think so. I mean, I know what you were saying. It's our fourth within how many years?
10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, when I think back to January 2013,
mm-hmm.
and I've mentioned this before to many people, like if we think about it, like January 2013 was pretty much when the descent started to happen for the Montreal Alouettes. I mean, you're talking about this team being like the flagship team of the CFL, the model franchise, if you will. I mean, you had all kinds of stability. You knew who the quarterback was. You knew who the general manager was. You knew who the owner of the Alouettes was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you didn't hear about them all the time. They weren't squawking on Twitter and spouting off all kinds of nonsense. But you knew who the owners were. They just did their job. They signed the checks and made the occasional appearance, and everything ran as it should. I mean, the only, coaching too, for the most part, was stable. Like, to see a head coach last longer than two seasons is always nice. I mean, there was all kinds of stability with the Alouettes up until the day that Mark Trestman, former coach of the Alouettes, who took the team to two Grey Cup championships, well, three Grey Cup games and two championships, decided to head back south and join the Chicago Bears. And ever since that moment, I don't think we truly realized it at the time, but that was basically the descent of the Montreal Alouettes. And it just kept going down and down and down. And a part of that includes, yeah, four different owners. If you're counting the Canadian Football League as an owner, which I do, four different owners this team has had. Countless quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Three general managers.
I mean, the quarterback thing happened in 2013 too, and AC got that concussion and he retired. So
yeah. So you think about it this way: it's 2023. So now this is like the 10 year anniversary, if you will, of that descent. And now look where things – look what's in the 10 years since Mark Trestman decided to peace out and try his hand at the NFL. Look what has happened in those 10 years. And it is mind-boggling to think about. A little depressing at times. I mean, yes, there has been some good moments. There has been a lot of fun things that have happened with this team. But my God, there's just been so much going on. Let's just put it that way. There's been so much going on with this team that all one can do is just shake their head and just say, you know, what could possibly happen? Like, what's it going to take for things to finally get back to where they were in, you know, the 2000s, shall we say?
Right.
Because arguably you can say that the 2000s were the most successful of this current installment of the Alouettes, like year 2000 to 2010, arguably the most successful time period for the Montreal Alouettes here since they came back in 96.
Yeah. And it's true. I mean, we had stability from, you know, from 97 through to 2018 when it came to ownership. You know, even when Mr. Wettenhall passed away and the rest of the Wettenhall family took over, you know, stability at president. It's just, you know, as we pointed out, too, we haven't had a president stay any longer than, you know, than 3 years since Larry Smith did. Let's hope with the influx of money from Pierre Carl will right this ship. I mean, he said all the right things. I mean, watching the presser again, the gentleman knows how to speak. He really does. I mean, he's been CEO, owner, politician. So he knows what to say. Now, the one thing I wanted to ask you, Cliff, first and foremost, is: are you surprised, or do you have any thoughts on why PKP became the owner and not Quebecor? Which, for those of you who don't know, that's basically his company. So I mean, they're part of they own TVA, the TVA Sports. They own two teams in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. They own the arena in the Videotron Center in Quebec City. Were you surprised when you found out that it was just him buying the team versus Quebecor?
A little bit. I mean, because as you said, that there's a very strong sports division within Quebecor, which is a huge media empire. For those of you that don't know what Quebecor is all about, I mean, they've got their hands in all sorts of media. So I mean, it's a good fit for the Alouettes in the sense that this is someone who is used to being in the spotlight, whether it's politically, with sports, anything in general to do with the media. I mean, this is a man who knows the media extremely well and knows how to work under the spotlight, if you will. Like when the camera goes on and the mics are turned on, he knows what he needs to do. He knows how to address his people, so to speak. Was I surprised when it was just him? A little bit, in the sense that, okay, I mean, what's the motivation? What made him decide now in 2023 that he wanted to be the owner of the Montreal Alouettes, like, as opposed to before when he was busy with his political career, because he was also a leader of the Parti Québécois at one point.
Short period of time. Yeah.
Right, but still, I mean, that's still a pretty big undertaking. And just running a media empire too is no small feat. No. So it's so there's a lot of questions as to, okay, well, why now? Why would he be interested now in this? Especially knowing too that the Canadian Football League broadcast partners are his direct competitors in Bell Media. So now the thought becomes, okay, does now he want to get TVA Sports and Quebecor involved in the Canadian Football League when the rights become available? I think it's as of 2026, like it'll be up for bids again. Is this his way to get in the door, so to speak, and try to help broadcast the Alouettes and even the Canadian Football League market altogether? Possibly.
It would be interesting. It would be very interesting, actually.
Well, that's it. And he realizes this now. Like it's kind of funny to think that he now owns a franchise that will be broadcast exclusively on his competition. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had to know that. I mean, I don't think he made any bones about it, but he did state in the presser, though, that, it's till 2025, 2026. So we'll see what happens when that comes up, which leads me to believe that if he puts his time in as the owner and helps build this team back to prominence and help sort of restore that stability that's been sorely lacking over the past, let's say, decade. When the rights come up for the Canadian Football League, as far as broadcasting goes, I mean, I'm sure he wants to make sure that the Alouettes and essentially the Canadian Football League are featured on his TV stations as opposed to not.
Yeah, exactly. Versus Bell Media. Yeah.
There's also talk, too, that he may be looking to take Videotron countrywide, like nationwide, if you will. And part of that would have to be if he were to get the exclusive rights to the Canadian Football League, then he'd have to develop and work with media or another television company to become their broadcaster, or work with, say, like Sportsnet or CBC or something like that. Or does he just develop his own English network, English sports network? I don't know.
There's so many variables. I will admit him jumping in the fray, being his owners, the Alouettes, it's going to make the new TV contract negotiations very, very interesting, for sure. I don't know what the reach is of RDS versus TVA Sports. I would imagine it should be the same, but I don't know if TVA Sports has the reach that it does on cable in other parts of the country, like RDS does.
See, that's just it. I mean, there's, again, the rest of Canada, I don't think is all that concerned about watching RDS or TVA Sports. So this is where I'm thinking that he's going to have, if he really wants the broadcasting rights to that, I mean, I just don't see a scenario where you'd have, say, for example, TSN broadcasting all the games in English and then TVA Sports broadcasting only Alouettes games in French, and then maybe RDS picks up the rest.
I never thought about that. You're right, because I would imagine that he would want to shoot for the entire contract, the entire French, the French broadcasting rights.
100%. And in which case, I mean, that could open things up as far as however many more TVs would have TVA Sports in Quebec as opposed to the rest of Canada. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I mean, there's definitely French populations throughout Canada in other cities, but how many of them are truly tuning into RDS to watch, whether it's the Alouettes or whomever? Because let's not forget, RDS doesn't broadcast every single game in French. They just primarily focus on the Alouettes and, to a lesser extent, the Red Blacks. And on occasion, they will show other teams playing.
That's true, too. That's true, too.
The main focus is on the Alouettes. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see foresee a scenario where you would have TSN broadcasting all the games in English and TVA Sports broadcasting all the games in French, because then at that point you may be shutting out the rest of the country, unless he truly does plan to take TVA Sports nationwide. But how do you do that when you know that you're outside of Quebec? You don't have that huge of a stronghold when it comes to the French-speaking population.
No, it's true. But for those who don't know, I mean, TVA Sports is very similar to what RDS currently is. They have RDS is still two, right? It's RDS and then RDS 2. Is RDS Info, does that exist anymore? I can't remember.
It still does. I mean, it's still the same, just rehash of...
kind of what the Score used to be.
Right.
For those who don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, and TVA Sports also is the exclusive French broadcaster of the National Hockey League.
Yep. And they also have the rights to most of the Quebec University games.
That's correct as well. And there's something else that PKP had mentioned too, is that he wants to be a part of helping to strengthen football at all levels in Quebec. Mm-hmm. And he knows that it starts with the Alouettes. He had said quite clearly, it's because of the Alouettes that Quebec is such a powerhouse when it comes to football. And it started with the Alouettes and continued through with university and even down to the CJEP and high school levels. Now Quebec football has blossomed into a true force when it comes to football in Canada.
Right.
Like, as far as youth sport, like when you talk about junior and youth sports football, I mean, everybody is now looking more and more towards as far as player development and finding out where the truly talented players come from. And it all starts with the Alouettes being relevant. So to PKP, that was one of the things that really appealed to him more than anything else, was the idea that I'm going to buy this team, help strengthen football in Quebec and keep it strong at all levels. And yeah, I can definitely see with TVA Sports being the broadcaster for the RSEQ, which is the Quebec division of university. So that's, you're talking about the Laval Rouge Or, the Montreal Carabins, the Sherbrooke Varior, like those teams are broadcast exclusively on TVA Sports. And if this could mean even bigger and better things, I mean, and how many people have been clamoring now for the entire U Sports to be broadcast on TV? to be given that visibility. Mm-hmm. Maybe PKP thinks that if he can build a bigger and stronger network that would have a reach nationwide, maybe that could be a part of it as well. Or he partners with like a Sportsnet or CBC to broadcast those games in English while still maintaining the exclusivity of the RSEQ in French on TV Sport.
Yeah. Plus, and I think I mentioned too, they have two stations also. It's, you know, TV Sport and then TV Sport 2. So there's two of them. So it's, mm-hmm. they have the means. Dude, it's going to be so, well, you know, I will admit, I know we're just, you know, we're just introducing PKP as the new Alouettes owner, but just looking forward to the potential negotiations that are going to be occurring for the CFL broadcast rights in French is going to be so much fun. It really is.
It'll be interesting. And again, if Pilado can help make this team strong again and bring back that stability, I'm sure that they're going to be looking now again at Quebec City as a potential place. I mean, I know everybody is wanting so badly for the Atlantic Schooners to come back and, you know, have that 10th team again in the CFL. But I mean, that dream just, I know Randy Ambrosi is trying desperately to keep that dream alive. And it just, with each passing day, just seems like more and more of a pipe dream. But if PKP can reestablish the Alouettes as the powerhouse that they have been in the past, does that strengthen the resolve to maybe have the 10th team not be in Atlantic Canada, but be in Quebec City? I mean, that's something I'm sure that he's possibly considered. I mean, I know that as far as the Laval Rouge era go, like they rule Quebec City when it comes to football.
Right.
And it's not so easy as just drop a franchise there and everybody will automatically support it because, I mean, the culture that they've built with U-Sports there is second to none. And it's not so easy necessarily just to put CFL football there and make it work. I mean, you've got to develop it the same way you've developed any other team and help build that local ownership there. So I don't know. I mean, there's so much potential for a move like the ramifications for a move like this. So it's really going to be interesting. I mean, as far as with him owning the Alouettes, I think at this point, though, I'm really hoping that he's going to be the kind of owner that just doesn't say a word, just sign the checks and just make sure the bills are paid. Mm-hmm. To me, I think that's going to be important now more than anything else. Like we've seen what it's like to have a bombastic owner going off on social media and saying his piece and making all sorts of crazy things happen. I think I'm ready for a boring owner now, like someone who's just going to shut his yap and just pay the bills.
It's weird to say it. Mr. Wettinall was that owner, which loved his team, but let the people in football ops do their job.
That's what it was. He trusted the people he put in charge. He trusted like the Jim Pops, the Larry Smiths when he was the president of the Alouettes, the coaching staff. Like he trusted all of his top people all the way down. Like, and he just ran. Like again, you didn't hear necessarily from Mr. Hall other than the occasional radio interview or anything, but he just stayed out of the way. He let his people do their job. And I think that that's what's key more than anything else. I think successful ownership is just bringing in the right people and letting them do their job. And I sincerely hope PKP does that. Like he's made very clear that Danny Machocha isn't going anywhere. He's running this football team the way it should be. Have faith in what he's doing. And for the most part, as general manager, yeah, I definitely have faith in what Danny Mac has been doing. Obviously, now a new president is going to have to be hired for the Alouettes.
Yeah, you're talking about trusting new people. You know, we learned also, too, that right before the announcement that with the surprising resignation of the commissioner of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, that current interim president for the Alouettes, Mario Ciccini, seemed to be a lock to be the new commissioner of the Q, which, as mm-hmm. you're stating now, it is our loss again. But there will need to be a new president named for the Alouettes, and I think PKP said during the press conference that one will be announced shortly or soon. I'm trying to remember what the translation was from French to English, but basically it's shortly.
Yeah, and again, this is a move that he cannot make a mistake on for sure. I don't know who he. There's a couple of names have been bandied about as far as potential presidents for this team, and quite frankly, I sincerely hope it's a good one. I mean, it's going to be tough to replace a Mario Ciccini. I mean, what he did over the past couple of years. He's head and shoulders above anybody else.
He was the fans' president.
Yep, and again, Mario too also had that media experience as well. Like he knew how to act when the cameras were on and the mics were on. And I think PKP realized, like, okay, that's a tough act to follow. So I know he's got to make sure that whoever he does decide to make the president of the Alouettes has to be someone of that same vein, someone that can reach the community both in English and in French, someone who, I won't say necessarily loves football, but somebody that can appreciate football for what it is and realize how important this football team is to the city, to the province, and to the league, and someone that's just going to help this team grow exponentially.
Yeah.
So to me, I think whomever he's got in mind, it has to be a home run. And I really want to believe if he is as serious as what he says he is as far as wanting the Alouettes to become the team again, to be relevant again, I want to believe that whoever he's going to be hiring as president, it's going to have to be a home run. Simple as that.
No, I agree. You know, since you said it, I'm going to ask you, because a lot of people will be asking the same questions or emailing us. What are some of those? Who were some of those names that have been just floated, not necessarily officially, but maybe within the media or from sources or blah, 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 you know, because, you know, again, we heard that there were multiple. I think in the end, there was like nine ownership groups who were potentially involved or interested in the Alouettes. But what are some of the names that have been floated around that could be the next future president of the Alouettes?
One that had been suggested was Mathieu Proulx, but he kind of shot that down himself, saying that he's very happy at RDS and does not, you know, is very happy doing what he does there. So, but you never know. Like, he may have just said that quickly, but one can't help but wonder. Like, he's someone that does sort of check off all those boxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's perfectly bilingual in the media, as you know, working for RDS, former Alouette too. So, I mean, like, he knows how, you know, important this team is to the city, to the province, to the league. I mean, to me, like, that wouldn't be such a terrible idea. I mean, I know he kind of laughed it off and thought maybe not, but I don't know. Maybe now that he's had a chance to think about it, that maybe doesn't sound so crazy. Another name that had been brought up was Annie LaRouche, who is the current president of the Montreal Alliance.
But yeah, vice president of operations.
Vice president of operations. Yep. But also, too, a former member of the Alouettes, started as a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm. Back in 96. Became cheerleader. Yeah.
Yep. Cheerleader, then became the coach of the cheerleaders, if you will, like the head cheerleader, however you want to phrase it. Don't remember the exact title of it. But
director.
Director. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And then also that graduated into working for the Alouettes as well as the alumni organization for the cheerleaders, but working with the team as well in a number of capacities, actually, which led her to joining the Alliance.
Yep. And also becoming, bitch, so people know, she was also the director of the Alouettes Foundation. That's no slouch at all when it comes to being director of something like that.
So once again, maybe doesn't have the media savvy, so to speak. I mean, compared to like a Mathieu Proulx, but I mean, again, still checks off a lot of the boxes as far as being able to be a part of the community and knowing what the Alouettes are all about. I mean, someone who grew up in the organization and rose up to the ranks. I mean, once again, that's potential right there. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that there's definitely a number of qualified candidates out there. And to me, it's going to be tough to replace Mario Cecchini. I mean, really, truly. I mean, he is in the 4 years that he's been associated with the Alouettes, he's done such an incredible job. I mean, the fact that he was the first person they turned to when the league decided to reassume ownership of the team, just to keep things stable. That was the first person they called was Mario Cecchini, because he knows what the hell he's doing. Like, he knows what needs to be done when it comes to the day-to-day operations of the Alouettes. And it's so unfortunate. I thought, okay, whoever the next owner of the Alouettes, they'd be absolutely crazy not to keep Mario Cecchini on. But as we ended up learning in that sort of five-week period when Mario was not the president of the Alouettes, he clearly had a plan to, you know, find work elsewhere. And when the opportunity to become commissioner of the QMJHL came up and they made him an offer he couldn't refuse, I certainly don't blame him. I mean, he probably didn't know what was going to happen, because as far as he was concerned, he was out and, you know, the Alouettes were going to go on without him. So, I certainly don't blame him for pursuing that venture and then being asked to step back in an interim basis. you know, our thought, our hope even was that whoever the owner was should be a no-brainer to hire Mario back. But I mean, I think at that point, unfortunately, like just too much had gone on. And I guess Mario, for all intents and purposes, probably felt like he was moving on too. So, you know, I don't fault him. I certainly don't. And it's, you know, a great opportunity for him to be a commissioner. And who knows what that could lead to? I mean, could we see Mario Cecchini maybe one day as commissioner of the Canadian Football League?
It's an interesting thought because, you know, just so people know, the Q, their headquarters is in Boucherville, Quebec. So that's practically, you know, practically Montreal.
It is.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, though, and this is just me musing, Cliff. I understand that he is the interim, and we haven't heard a thing since it was stated that he was going to become president. He was going to become the commissioner. You think his mind could be changed, knowing what he knows, knowing that what the relationship that he has with the fans already? I mean, unless they bring in somebody like Annie as an example, you know, she knows the team. I'm sure she knows some of the fans. We've met Annie before on field post game, but do you think that would be the case? Because you would have thought, now, mind you, we may be completely wrong. They may announce this tomorrow, you know, which is usually the case that happens after we finish a show. Stuff breaks, but the Q has not announced anything yet. It's been 5 days since the announcement. Will this occur post season for the Q? Because they're coming into their hockey playoffs. So I mean, as you said, anything can happen.
You're right. Anything can happen, but I don't see it happening. Believe me, no one would be happier than me to find out that Mario is going to stick around with the Alouettes and help finish what he started. But I just think the opportunity to be commissioner of the Q is such an incredible opportunity, and one that clearly doesn't come by every day. I think the last commissioner, he'd been there for like 30 some odd years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and for them to go right to Mario, I mean, that's just going to be a boon for the Q as far as visibility goes, and they're going to be in extremely good hands. I don't think there's any question about that. To me, it's just, yeah, it's hard because, yeah, in a perfect world, yeah, Mario would be front and center, would be 100% part of this team again. But I just have to think, though, that like the well got poisoned by previous ownership and their absolute bumbling of the whole situation. I mean, and the sad thing is, I truly think a lot of this could have been prevented. I really do. It's so unfortunate, you know, like the way that things have just been mishandled, and you know, it is what it is. Though, I mean, now we look forward. We'll see what kind of owner PKP will be with the Alouettes. I mean, it's going to be interesting, but yeah, it's just disappointing when you know that you had such a fantastic president and you basically let him get away, and that's going to be a bitter pill to swallow. So again, I can't overemphasize that whoever the next president of the Alouettes is going to be, regardless of who it's going to be, I mean, they've got a very, very tough act to follow. So I can't overstate how much this next hire has to be a home run, not a double, not a triple, but I'm talking a full on home run.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of people keep referencing. I mean, yes, you know, according to Forbes, you know, Pierre Carl has a estimated worth of $1.9 billion Canadian. U.S. Sorry, that's U.S. It's 2.2 billion Canadian.
So I mean, the guy's got money, and that's the thing. Like, buying a CFL team, folks, is a money pit. I mean, you're basically donating to charity when you think about it. I mean, this team has not turned a profit in God knows how long, even though the season ticket sales have been up and viewership is up on the team. I mean, like this was a team that, you know, was getting its act together and becoming relevant again. And a lot of that was because of the work of Mario Cecchini. So, you know, now with the PKP on board, yeah, he can write those checks. He can cover those losses, and he can do whatever, like he has the funds to ensure that this team is running smoothly. And if you can find a way, even just to break even, I think that would be a victory all by itself. And it's not going to be easy just with the current business model that the Canadian Football League operates under. I mean, it's not typically a recipe for success, but if PKP thinks he can find a way to change that, and maybe it will come down to, you know, him putting in his 2 cents worth when he gets together with the other lead governors of the Canadian Football League and explain, listen, we got to take this thing to the next level. We got to find a way to become more relevant and get more eyes on the product and get more funds in here. And a lot of people have already started talking already about what potentially could happen with the Alouettes, as far as the simple fact that this team doesn't own anything other than their name. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about the Molson Stadium, they're renting. The offices over at the Big O, renting. When they have training camp, they're renting. They don't own anything. They need something of their own. Now, I can't see McGill selling Molson Stadium to the Alouettes ever.
No.
But one has to wonder, I mean, is a new stadium a possibility? Is that something that this new owner is willing to look into and invest in? Because I know that Gary Cern had talked about it when we had him on the show last year, is that he thinks that the Alouettes should really be thinking about a new stadium and their own practice facility, their right. own offices, their own everything, like to be an organization unto themselves. I have to hope and wonder if PKP is thinking the same thing for the Alouettes as well. And as much as we love going to Percival Molson Stadium and being a part of that atmosphere, I mean, they're still renting. So, I mean, they still have to sort of, you know, play by their rules, so to speak. And I have to wonder if Peledo is thinking, no, if I'm going to own this team, I'm going to own it proper and I'm going to do things the right way. And like, he went and built a NHL arena in hopes of getting an NHL team in Quebec City. That's still there. I mean, he's not afraid to pull the trigger on moves like that. So, you know, I have to wonder if the Alouettes, as far as their future goes, like, is this something that this ownership group would now entertain the idea of, is to improve upon, you know, find a way to help improve upon Molson Stadium, or just build their own facility outright? I mean, I guess only time will tell, but and is something that folks will have to consider.
And I think the whole scene of this whole thing, besides with the announcement of the new Alouettes ownership, the whole talk recently from the from FC Montreal or CF Montreal in a potential new stadium or redoing their stadium, because supposedly, I guess the soccer club's president went and visited the new stadium in Austin, Texas, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And he was commenting about how it looked. And so, you know, they're talking about potentially renovating that stadium. Now, mind you, I've never been there. The only one I can even reference to, Cliff, would be BMO Field, because that technically was for soccer only. Mm-hmm. Originally for Toronto FC. So I don't know. It just depends on where, because as much as I love this city, I hate the Big O. I hate it for football. You had the best of both worlds being in downtown Montreal. Do you really want to put a stadium in the, or even a shared stadium in the East End?
Personally, no, I wouldn't want to. I mean, there's still so, like, that area, it's not the toxic wasteland that it was 20 years ago when the Expos were there, because you went out there for baseball games and there's nothing around there. There's nothing really surrounding it. Like, there's no, you know, you're about as far removed as the city, as like the downtown core, as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing around it, like no bars, no restaurants, no, you know, nothing even touristic other than the Big O itself. So, I mean, like, yeah, it didn't lend itself to a great atmosphere. Stade Saputo, which I have been to, you know, it's a nice stadium. I mean, it's ideal for soccer, I will say that. Could you drop a football field in there? Maybe. I don't know. But would you really want to? I think you'd end up with the same sort of nonsense you got when it came to, like, Toronto FC fans and Argos fans, as far as their field versus their field kind of thing. Like, it's, you know, just one of those situations. I just don't foresee it happening. To me, like, you would have to build an actual football stadium, like an actual CFL football stadium. Where? Obviously downtown, somewhere downtown. Or you just find, you know, God forbid you could ever find a way to buy Molson Stadium and then just renovate the hell out of it. But I just don't see that scenario happening either, even though that would be amazing.
Well, no, that's tough, considering what the Owls already went through to do the expansion. There's really not much you can do with it on campus of McGill University.
Yeah.
So I think the next big step, and we'll see if it happens, because it won't happen this offseason, I don't think, is that, you know, we're 10 years removed from having since we've had our newest turf. And I mentioned that a few episodes back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're due for another turf.
Yeah, and God willing, it ends up being, you know, these corners of the end zone cut off to fit a track and field track that doesn't even get used anymore. I mean, it'd be awesome if they just made it a proper CFL regulation field, like it should be, like the end zones should be. But yeah, I guess one miracle at a time. So
that would be the biggest, I think that would be the biggest sign, though, that the Alouettes would be staying potentially long term.
Agreed.
If they put the work into Percival Molson like that. Because right now, Percival Molson gets potentially, what is it, 15 dates a year from football,
mm-hmm,
through U Sport and through the Owls.
That's right.
So you remove the Owls, but mind you, there's soccer, there's whatever, you know, whatever official stuff they have there for the Redbirds. So we'll
see. Just general use of the field itself, yeah. But, you know, let's face it, though, like the Alouettes should be their number one priority, because that's essentially what the stadium is known for and is what's essentially being used for. Because if the Alouettes decide to go away, that stadium will just fall into disrepair yet again.
That's what I was thinking, too. And all that money would have just gone to waste.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it would necessarily gone to waste. It would have served its purpose for the time, but eventually you want to take a look at the future as far as hosting a Grey Cup even. You couldn't host a Grey Cup right now at Percival Molson.
No.
Like trying to put in even temporary, even to try to get it to like 33,000 would be a logistical nightmare, really. As awesome as it would be to have a Grey Cup in Montreal, I mean, you'd have no choice but to do it at the Big O. But we've been down this road before as far as why it hasn't happened yet. And if anyone can make a 2026 Grey Cup in Montreal happen, it would have to be billionaire Pierre.
Yeah, for sure.
But in what way? I mean, essentially, you would almost have no choice but to build a brand new football-specific stadium, and you'd have to start construction tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, right away. So,
because I it's funny. We're looking at it as if anybody didn't know, Winnipeg was just recently given the rights to the 2025 Grey Cup.
Yeah.
We know the Grey Cup.
And it would have to...
Go ahead, Cliff, go ahead.
I was going to say, like this year it's in Hamilton, but then, yeah, then you got two Western Grey Cups, essentially, and we have to come back east in some way, but where?
Well, it's not going to Toronto, and B, it's not going to BC, because they have to deal with the two-year delay of the World Cup.
That's right.
And that's a whole other story. That's a whole other story in itself.
Right. So that would, if you want an Eastern Grey Cup, that would essentially leave Ottawa and Montreal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Ottawa's hosted a Grey Cup before and did a terrific job. But people have been clamoring for years for a Grey Cup. Ever since 2008, people have been clamoring again for the Grey Cup to come back to Montreal. And yeah, you will feel the Big O for it. There's no question in my mind that you will jam-pack the Big O again. But again, you got that whole stupid nonsense with the roof and so on and so forth. But yeah, so not to say that PKP doesn't have his hands full when it comes to this team, but I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, as far as the future goes, that he's going to have to take into consideration.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning, so we don't know what's going to happen. The one thing we do know that came out of all this, because it was announced it seemed to be just an afterthought, is that we now know that the 2023 Montreal Alouettes training camp will once again, Cliff, be held in the city of Trois-Rivières.
Yes.
And that will be starting with the official opening day on May 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I think it's safe to say that barring something catastrophic to us, we will be there. We will be at training camp.
Yeah.
I think there's no question in my mind that we will be there that first day, and we will maximize as much time as we can at training camp as humanly possible.
That's right. Yep. Stay tuned for that one.
Yep. Because folks, we want to bring some content. We want to be a presence at training camp for you as well. So stay tuned. As I said, as we've talked about before, like training camp is one of those things that absolutely you have to go and experience. Yeah. And not everybody can. So if we could find a way to bring training camp to you, as far as just, you know, when it comes to, you know, interviews with members of the team or just the overall experience, because we had so much fun last year in Trois-Rivières for the weekend that we were there. And if we could find a way to take what we did and bring it all to you, not just sit and, you know, recap our own experiences there, but to bring you, the listeners, in live with us, we're going to do that. That's our, as it stands right now, that is our goal, to make that happen as much as possible. So by all means, stay tuned, because now that we know that it's at Trois-Rivières, plans are starting to be made, and I'm very stoked about the opportunity to go back there.
Yep, there to represent, obviously, the pod, represent whatever Flight Deck Media we can come up with, and also there to happily represent the Football Reporters of Canada. We really are. So we're looking forward to it. We are really looking forward to it. I'm trying to think if it's a, you know, this is a kind of a, it is a normal episode, but it is a kind of a special episode because of what occurred. And we promise everybody, obviously, you know, information that does break for the Alouettes. I mean, is there anything else, Cliff, that we can mention team wise before we finish up this special episode?
Well, I mean, as far as we can tell right now, it's business as usual, which has always been the goal. It seems no matter what, whether it was the Spiegel-Stern group or the CFL or now with PKP as the owner, the big focus has always been to ensure that this team runs as it's supposed to. I mean, everything, you know, the bills will be paid, football will be played, all the important things that need to be done are still being done right now. Like the plan is a go. I mean, I know that the team itself now is going to start focusing on the combine, which is coming up next weekend. So I know that's right now, I guess, the, as far as football ops go, that's the important thing that's happening right now, is to start planning and preparing to see what the future holds for the Alouettes, because don't forget, the Alouettes have not one, but two first round draft picks this year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, well, actually, last year, technically, they made the deal on draft day to acquire that second first round pick. And look what the Alouettes did with those two first round picks in 2022. So now it's a matter of taking a look and see what's out there for 2023. And whatever it's going to take to help improve this team, to help strengthen that Canadian depth, I feel very confident in what this scouting team is able to do. Based on the past couple drafts that this team has had, I've been very pleased with a lot of the selections that have been made. And again, two words, folks, Tyson Philpott. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, you got to see what he was capable of doing at the combine. You just got a little taste of it. Enough for Danny to say, yeah, I want him. I want him on this team. And sure enough, he made the deal happen to get that extra draft pick in the first round to be able to draft a Tyson Philpott. And it paid off handsomely towards the end of the last season. So I have no doubt in my mind there's tons of incredibly talented young Canadian players that are just waiting for the opportunity to get out there and show their stuff. And the next great Alouette could be in that group, folks. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it as well. I know the Alouettes are looking forward to getting out to Edmonton to see, you know, what these youngsters can do. And, you know, sooner or later, like, they'll make a decision and someone will get their name called on draft day and be told, hey, congratulations, you are now a Montreal Alouette.
Exactly. Should be fun.
And we'll see them in Trois-Rivières. Now we know for sure we will definitely see whoever gets drafted in Trois-Rivières this coming May.
Yep.
That's exciting. I got to tell you, that to me, that's exciting, is to see what direction this team is going to go as far as, you know, draft picks go. I mean, not every single one pans out, and that's fine, but just to get an idea of what this team is feeling as far as their needs and where they feel they need to improve their Canadian depth, to me, that's what I'm more interested in than anything else, and it all starts at the combine, so I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what's doing out there, and again, it's all about making this football team better.
Yeah, exactly. Let us know, what do you think about the new ownership? Who do you think should be the new president of the Alouettes? Are you coming to Trois-Rivières for training camp? Let us know. Let us know on socials, or you can email us. That's tim.capper@alouettesflightdeck.ca or cliffyd.pine@alouettesflightdeck.ca. Stay tuned for the next episode. We will be having one in a couple of weeks. Obviously, if anything breaks for the Alouettes, you will hear it here as soon as possible. So, Cliff, things are a new chapter has started for the Alouettes organization, and obviously we are looking forward to it. So, congratulations again to Pierre Carl to becoming the new owner of the Alouettes. We'll be watching you, won't we, Cliff?
Yes. Enjoy your new toy. Play nicely with it. And again, it's not hard. It's really not hard. You just have to ensure that this team is what we expect it to be and even better. And I think someone with his media acumen, with his political knowledge, with, you know, just knowing how things operate, especially here in Quebec, I think, is he the right man for the job? Only time's going to tell, but one can't help but feel encouraged knowing that he's got the finances to be able to run this thing properly. Now it's just a matter of, is he going to ensure that the right people are in place to ensure that this team remains that powerhouse in Quebec and beyond. So, you know, I won't say he's got his work cut out for him, but I think, you know, I sincerely hope this isn't just some, you know, little project for him or anything like that. Like, I want to believe that he's serious when he says that he's a Montrealer through and through, and that, you know, to him, this is a labor of love. This is something that he wants to do to help reestablish the Alouettes and ensure that they are viable and part of the CFL scene for years to come. So I'm going into this with an open mind and hoping for all the best. So I definitely wish him all the success in making sure that this Alouettes team is successful both on and off the field for years to come.
Exactly. We'll have to talk to you very shortly. If nothing breaks, you can expect to hear from us in a couple of weeks. So for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.